Thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to speak. As I have repeatedly suggested in our magazine, feminism is one of the pressing issues of contemporary white Europe, Europe of free nations. Under its influence, European women engage in actions contrary to their nature and vocation. As a result, white Europe, proud Europe, is descending into a conflict between the sexes. Left liberal elites benefit from this, for whom a strong traditional family and a strong nations are enemies. What is the liberal feminist narrative? It is difficult to identify the essential features of this worldview, which does not constitute any coherent theory and lacks an ordered structure. In the 1940s, Simone de Beauvoir put forward the risky thesis that one is not born a woman, but rather becomes one, and that a consistent definition of femininity does not exist. A dozen or so years later, during the era of social protests in the second half of the 1960s, reflection on the role of women in public life was reduced to sexual and reproductive issues. Through the slogan, "The personal is political," feminists turned the body and sexuality into matters of a cultural, social, or indeed political nature. In this way, the discussion about women's participation in public life has been reduced to a few strictly sexual and reproductive aspects. The so-called right to abortion, to homoeroticism, and other sexual paraphilias, that is, simply illnesses, dysfunctions, to unrestricted access to contraceptives, namely, to unrestrained sexual activity. Preventing or terminating pregnancy has become a fashion, while venereal diseases have become an embarrassing secret, not worth discussing. The slogan of equality and women's freedom has been reduced to the right to be irresponsible, to a lack of moral restraint. In this way, women have become merely tools in the hands of the liberal elites, including the Illuminati. Preoccupied with flaunting what is intimate, personal and private, they have lost the vocation associated with their sex. Therefore, a natural consequence of these changes was the belief promoted by Judith Butler, a pioneer of so-called third-wave feminism, that biological sex in no way determines gender, and moreover, that it may even be in contradiction with it. Thus, feminism has been reduced to the vanguard of the LGBT propaganda. Supposedly, a truly liberated woman can therefore be whoever she wants. She may freely choose social roles for herself, regardless of health-related limitations attributed to sex. What is more, so bark the so-called feminists, if a woman feels transsexual, she can easily challenge her biological sex and demand to be a man or even a person without a defined gender affiliation, non-binary. In parallel with women's sexual emancipation, all manifestations of so-called discrimination are tracked down and stigmatized, not only against women, but also against other sociocultural minorities, including so-called scholars immigrants, groundlessly referred to as refugees. All these liberal left tendencies constitute a total absurdity, contrary to their nature and vocation of the people of white Europe. They not only contradict common sense, but also lead to moral and spiritual decline. For when reason and will give way even to the most excited passions and desires, a person, regardless of sex, loses sight of the idea. Feminism in public life, in foreign policy, in every aspect of nation functioning is a sore, a cancer on the body of the community. It is nothing other than a tool of Marxist oppression, which, under the guise of fighting a supposed patriarchy, destroys relations between women and men. It diverts both young and adults away from the need for cooperation toward destructive passions. It destroys traditional models of manliness, responsibility, and humility, replacing them with the illusions of denationalized multicultural politics. The promotion of deviations associated with LGBT content, mental health issues that hinder the formation and maintenance of families, a trend toward divorce, and so-called free relationships. Therefore, these and other sores in the fabric of the community should be decisively cut out, so as to prevent the internal disintegration of the nation and to safeguard the spiritual development of its members. Indeed, feminism is a cancer eating away at the nations of Europe. The remedy may be the engagement of European women in nationalism. Importantly, already in the 1940s, at the latest by the 1960s, European women had, in essence, gained full legal subjectivity. Access to education, paid employment, and participation in public life through active involvement in politics or holding public office. Women's activity in national revolutionary movements fully takes these issues into account and differs completely from the concerns of the so-called feminist struggle for alleged equality. Instead of demands for sexual freedom and the fight against supposed discrimination, it proposes active cooperation between white women and white men for the sake of the common good, that is, the good of the community. What is this community in the national revolutionary sense? As emphasized by Jorian Jenks, it is the key element of the triad of concepts replacing liberal miasmas. In place of liberty, equality, and fraternity, empty slogans initiating the degeneration of the nations of Europe, Jenks proposes unity, equity, and security. Quotation. Liberty, equality, fraternity was the watchwords of the liberal revolution. Unity, equity, security are the watchwords of the fascist revolution. The fascist trinity may or may not have higher ethical value than the liberal trinity. The point is that they have higher real value to men under the circumstances in which he finds himself today. Unity is the first degree in fascism, the prerequisite of achievement. Whenever and wherever men and women band themselves together, sinking all personal prejudice and ambition for the attainment of a common end, for the fulfillment of the common ideal, there is fascism in being. It was Mussolini's bundles that made possible the March on Rome. It is Mosley's action teams that are making possible a greater Britain. The end of quotation. Nationalism has no gender because it is open to both women and men. As nationalists, we do not have to pretend to be someone other than who we are. We know and accept our vocation to motherhood or fatherhood, as well as to fulfilling other social roles in accordance with our talents and predispositions, but also with the limitations of our health and nature. Therefore, as nationalists, we have no reason to feel like an oppressed minority, because we know our place in the ranks. It is not our need to fight the patriarchy, but our loyalty and hard work that earn us the trust of our comrades and give us influence over the decision made within the organizations of our movement. In this way, we draw not on the achievements of contemporary feminists, but rather on those of 19th and 20th century suffragists, thanks to whom we are able to pursue education and engage in various forms of activity, whether social, cultural, or political. The foundation of this conviction is work from the common good, taking either the form of professional activity or work within the household. Nora Ilam, a close associate of Oswald Mosley, postulated years ago, quotation, "No woman who loves her country, her sex, or her liberty need fear for the coming victory of fascism. Rather, she will find that what the suffragettes dreamt about 20 odd years ago is now becoming a possibility. And woman will buckle on her armor for the last phase of the greatest struggle, for the liberation of the human race, which the world has yet seen." The end of quotation. In Nora Elam's view, suffragists not engaged in activism were like, quotation, "extinct volcanoes, either wandering about in the backwoods of international pacifism and decadence, or prostrating themselves before the various political parties." The end of quotation. A contemporary, modern nationalist woman is a woman of action, following her own path according to her personal skills and abilities, but walking that path side by side with nationalist men, not against them. The goal of contemporary nationalist women and men, without exception, is harmonious cooperation for the good of the national community, whose products are not distributed equally, as in communism, but according to the principle of equity, that is, according to needs arising from the scope of honest work. Therefore, the struggle against feminism, as I have already mentioned, is described as a cancer eating away at the Europe of sovereign nations, is embedded in our national radical mission, our national revolutionary mission. As women, we fulfill this mission if we choose to work at home, caring for family and children, developing skills useful to the household. We also fulfill this mission through professional work in various fields, as long as our health and responsibility for future or current generations allow it. However, we all have a duty to strive for truth. Therefore, we must resolutely combat all manifestations of the community's degeneration, among which feminism is. In this view, unquestionably included, described as a collection of falsehoods and absurdities. If feminists want to kill the alleged patriarchy, let them do the world a favor and kill themselves. In that case, the problem would disappear, hopefully once and for all. Thank you very much.